It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play, like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses, too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Just call me Auntie Sarah. As long as your uncle is a veil.
Leave me alone.
I would never slut shame, but I would tell you that you have a shitty personality.
Wait, I cannot tell you. I don't know if it's because my brain and spirit are mush, but I have become bewildered and distracted by the, like, what is slut shaming at this point on Salt Lake City? Because I'm like, I'm an ally to women. I'm a woman. Like, I don't even know. But also, like, I love to laugh.
I felt comfortable in that bat mitzvah episode, and I guess also in this week's episode, sort of like taking off my discerning cap of
social justice
of is this slut shaving, yeah, and just kind of being along for the ride. It's a comedy.
You know what? Sometimes you just got to dance in the rain.
Sometimes. Oh, okay. Can we be real? Britney's hair looked a little pornish.
Okay. Here's the problem.
But also, don't disrespect porn stars. Porn stars can have beautiful hair.
I mean, the only thing that I thought was complicated was actually Andy's response on Watch What Happens. Even though I haven't seen a full Watch What Happens in 17 years,
right.
I saw a clip of it where he's like making a joke about you can't be a classy woman and have high body count hair. And then he caught himself and he was like, no, wait, you can. So it's fine. And
What is high body count hair? What is a high body count? Is 5 a high body count? Who could say?
I don't know that she had porn hair. I know she had bad hair.
Right. And I think that's where
she had 80s hair.
If we're gonna try and like set a boundary here, I feel like Angie could have told her hair looked bad in a way that was less tied to her alleged promiscuity.
But then Britney went on Watch What Happens and her hair was also bad.
I think that Britney,
I think it was a piece.
So the thing about Utah is that I feel like there is,
Whitney's going to get some bullets right now.
A specific sort of aesthetic that is, you know, like the Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. When they go to Jiz Styles hair salon and end up with the, you know, mermaid tail curtain extensions, like their hair looks good in a certain specific way. Mm-hmm. But it is not to everybody's taste. And I would say that Angie, her sensibility is less of that sort of like Utah Mormon mommy blogger style. And therefore, to her, Britney's hair looks bad.
Well, Angie also works in hair.
Of course.
There are few things that she's an expert in, but she's an expert in this. And also being great.
She has the shampoo hookup.
Which I thought that was because it looked like, because I'm a fucking idiot and I've used Redken for 100 years.
Yeah.
Shout out Redken Soft. So I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about with literally anything, but they looked like Pantene Pro-V bottles. So I was like, why are you, well, honestly, regardless, why are you bringing shampoo and conditioner to a bat mitzvah? But then I found out, then one of them said it was like $200 a bottle.
I think it was Kerastase.
Yeah,
something. Yeah,
whatever the fuck. Like,
need Kerastase Thermatique.
But when I found out how much it was, I was like, okay, it still doesn't make sense. But like, that's actually a nice gift.
Well, when I mean, yeah,
I thought it was weird and cheap, but then I was like, oh, it wasn't cheap.
Like salon quality hair products are expensive.
It was a big bottle,
and that's they were big bottles. Also, there was a journal in there.
We forgot about the journal.
I mean, Meredith, there was a little bit of mixed messaging about the ungifting, because Meredith was like, she knows I can't use that shampoo. It has sulfates in it. But then it's like, well, you could have used the journal, surely. So she decided she wanted to give the gift back, not because of the ingredients in the shampoo.
Wait, but then Mary on the after show said that Meredith also returned the gift she had gotten from Mary's luncheon, but she sent it via Uber because they were both like, she doesn't have a car or something. Yeah, so they were like, at least she spent $30 on that. Like, they thought it was funny that she had to spend money.
What was the gift at Mary's?
I don't know, because then Mary said something about, like, she wasn't, I think that there were two gifts because there was something that she refused to give them because she felt like they didn't deserve it,
didn't
and then something
it.
Else.
Yeah.
They didn't earn it.
Do you remember, like, 3 years ago at Mary's Met Gala luncheon when she gave everybody those Louis Vuitton like AirPods?
Absolutely. I know. It was a moment.
It is also, we have another gift giving moment this week on Salt Lake with the bedazzled passport holders that Lisa told Bronwyn not to give them. There is so much gifting happening.
If you had seen my fucking eyes, because I don't like dumb shit,
yeah,
but the attraction that I had to those motherfucking crystals, I was like, neat. And then she mentioned that they're Judith Lieber. I googled $590 each.
Each?
$590 American dollars.
I think that Bronwyn is like the person keeping Judith Lieber in business, because when we went to that ice cream event at Van Leeuwen, she had the Judith Lieber like ice cream cone clutch.
She did.
I feel like she probably has like at least a dozen of those bags just kind of for fill in the blank occasion.
I just want to be, because she buys so many things that are like quirky that I would assume she gets tired of. I'm less interested in those things than I am like, hey, Bronwyn, are you tired of any of those classic Chanels? Like, I don't even know what she has, but I know I can't afford any of it. And I would just like, what the next time she does spring cleaning, if she could donate one of those Chanel quilted bags to the Clovis, because I keep thinking about them, but they're ungodly expensive.
Yeah.
That I would just really appreciate that. Or like Mary, but Mary's not going to do it. Bronwyn, please.
I feel like if you made a connection with Bronwyn and you talked to her and you saw her in a certain way, I feel like you could get her to give you a Chanel bag in two interactions.
Both Gwen and I no longer have fathers.
Sarah.
Oh. Maybe it's a way of bringing us together. I've been crying nonstop on and off for the last 24 hours, but I do think that's a moment of connection.
Well, you know that the thing with these people like that who have that type of collection of stuff,
I just don't, yeah,
they would not miss it.
That's like, what I would never take it. I'm not talking about, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
I'm saying,
right, right.
I think she's so generous. If she... How many members of the cast were there when she was giving out those six? That's six. That's a little bit less than $3,600 plus tax,
which is half a Chanel bag.
That is almost a third of a Chanel currently, because they have people buy the balls right now. Like, it's worse than Tiffany with the tripling the cost.
They increase their price every like 9 months. They do like a 10%. It's
not even 10, though.
Actually crazy.
No, it's like nuts.
But
I don't even know what it doesn't make any kind of, but I guess actually the resale, I don't understand it, but I would like one for free.
There was also speaking of like having just too much stuff, there was a moment on Beverly Hills either this week or last when Sutton shows up with some like specific shade of like yellow orange Birkin and Kyle's like, oh my God, I have that exact same one. And it's like, why? And I know why, but also it's like, there are like 200 Hermes leather colors and you guys both happen to have the same like rare, you know, chameleon yellow or whatever. It's like, it is kind of crazy to me at a certain point, like, don't you just kind of like get bored?
Well, Crystal had the one that was painted like a house and was like $300,000.
Well, that was like a collector's item. Same with Jennifer Tilly's Louis Vuitton boat.
$30,000.
Like, there's a difference between like having like those specific ones that are from a specific time and are very rare or whatever, and just like buying every color of the like standard Birkin to me.
We are also in the Clovis where I have about 1700 pairs of Manolos, but I take pride in saying I get them like 90% off. Like, I've been so fortunate to be on the VIP list for the sample sale for over a decade.
Also, I've spent many a recording looking at these shoes.
They're beautiful. They're art.
And you don't have the same style of shoe in 15 colors. You have a couple sort of repeat ones, but
yeah,
like
just a couple. Dorsey.
You have a lot of variations on a theme, but they're not.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I found the pair of pants I like, so I'm going to buy them in three colors. Mm-mm. Like, with Birkins, it's like, come, mm-hmm. I don't know why we're talking about this.
You know what? Once I start my Birkin collection, which I will literally never do.
Yeah.
I will have this conversation with myself. I did see myself a little in Kyle revealing that she had a Birkin and a Birkin and a Birkin.
Oh,
or maybe
yeah.
it was like an Hermes and a Birkin and a Birkin. I don't even know. Because I don't know that one specific bag was, because I think there were some Kellys in there.
They were
actually
all Hermes
like
a, bags.
Yeah, they were all yeah. Hermes bags, but there was some Kelly to Birkin energy, just like the Russian nesting doll yes. of absolute cash. But I did kind of see myself in there because, as you know, mm-hmm. I have a tote bag with me at all times, or a small shopping bag. So even I was with friend of the pod, Emily D. Baker, looking at purses earlier in the fall. And we weren't at Hermes because we were looking for something for me where I was mm-hmm. like, I think I can get this for $100 off. Like, it was just like,
yes.
I am that person. But I was looking between two bags and I'm like, I don't think I should have a smaller one because I always have stuff. But then I realized, but I always have a small shopping bag with me, which has emergency Manolos in there, extra makeup, other phone chargers, things that won't fit. Because even if I have a large bag, I will always find other things that I need to bring with me, like right. all of my life's treasures, memories, sweet nothings, whatever. And so she was like, well, you should get the smaller anyway, because the smaller is more upscale. But also, if you always have a small shopping bag, it doesn't even matter.
Right. It's less a space concern and more like, what do you, Sarah, actually
spiritually
want?
Yeah. Right. It's hard for me to go smaller because I'm like, but the bigger holds more.
I know.
Very complicated.
I know.
I don't own bags. That's the thing. I don't own. I'm looking at a bag, but they price match. So I'm just waiting to find a price match.
You know what I did for the first time a couple months ago?
Tell me.
I shopped at the airport. And I
okay. thought about,
I was in Amsterdam. I was leaving Amsterdam and there was a bag that I had had my eye on.
By whom?
Burberry.
Oh, okay.
And it was less expensive in Europe than it is in the US.
Mm-hmm.
I had done the conversion. It was a little bit less. But when I went to the store in Amsterdam, they didn't have that one in stock. And I was like, okay, wasn't meant to be, whatever. Mm-hmm. I go to the airport. There's a Burberry store in the airport. I go to the store. They have the bag. Not only do you get it tax-free when you buy in the airport, the price was even lower. Like in euros, it was lower than the euros price that was like at the on the website. And
okay.
so I girl mathed that into being free, essentially. But
I love girl math. I love girl math.
I did, but I was like,
it's
oh,
one of
that
our best things as like girls is how we do our math.
But I always like, when I see those stores at the airport, I feel like usually I'm like, who's that for? And then I'm like, well, once it was for me, probably never again.
I don't love airport shopping because I just feel like I need to have the experience of walking around with the shopping bag and hopefully not being burgled. But so like that for me,
yeah,
is tough because I also hoard shopping bags. I have in my bedroom like over, I don't even know how many shopping bags.
Okay.
From like, I don't even know how long ago. I keep them as treasures.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys, it's Andy's Girls.
This has been a podcast about Birkins.
You know what? My favorite thing in life. It's episode 621-ish, and I'm so excited to have a return guest back to the cloth. You know him as the director of entertainment content at Betches Media, host of Mention It All, and creator of Bravo by Betches, purse fashionista Dylan Hafer. Dylan, how are we?
I'm well, thank you.
Sweet baby Dill.
I'm a little hungover. We had our office holiday party last night, which was, you know, and it's the holiday season. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I feel that cheerful, but
well, you know.
Yeah, whatever.
Same. This is absolutely same.
But yeah, we're making it through. We're yeah. keeping it pushing. I'm happy to be here. I feel like it's been a minute since we've caught up in the cloffice. Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of housewives happening. I don't know. It's a busy time.
I am very behind for good reason.
Yeah.
So I have Potomac to catch up on, New York begrudgingly to catch up on. Although I did hear two things that drove me absolutely fucking nuts. They might be the same thing. They might not. And I don't even know if I want to pretend saying don't spoil it for me, but like,
okay,
you can spoil it. One was that there was yet another prank, I guess, on this
indeed
weeks, and also that Jenna Lyons hadn't purchased that, was it a Bentley?
What's the other? Is rented, yes.
But the whole thing, correct me if I'm wrong, this was years ago that we watched that episode, the whole thing leading up to the Bentley was her talking about, I thought it was her literally talking about how excited she was to own the Bentley. Or maybe we were just drawn to believe that because of the lower third and everything else. I'm actually very upset that we weren't told that was a rental.
Yeah,
or a gift, or a loan, or whatever.
I don't recall like the specific explanation of the Bentley prior to this week finding out that it's rented. It is just like, I do feel like the further we get into this season, and I know you're not caught up, but like you have, you know, eyes and ears and a brain, that like, I feel like Jenna Lyons to me is sort of like the shine is wearing off a little bit of like how fun it is to have Jenna Lyons on Housewives. And I don't mean that in a way necessarily that I like don't like her or I think that she's like, you know, doing anything bad necessarily. I just am kind of like, okay, I feel like I get the Jenna Lyons thing. There are some moments that make me laugh. There are some whatever, but it's like, you know, we're two seasons in and she just like isn't really interested in drama. Obviously, we know we're not seeing her partner Cass on the show. Like, I just kind of feel like Jenna Lyons seems like a cool person, but I don't actually, she's not doing anything for me at this point. And I think knowing that there are so many pieces of this show not working, I feel like maybe last season, Jenna seemed like kind of an unexpected piece that maybe was working. And now I'm kind of like, I wouldn't keep her either. Like, I don't know.
She's a more vanilla version. And I don't mean this as a sign of disrespect to Carol, but she's kind of a more vanilla, bland version of Carol.
Yeah, I could see that. I think also it's an interesting kind of juxtaposition this season. Raquel, the new housewife on New York, I think has a lot of similarities to Jenna, but I actually find her to be like much more interesting on the show. We haven't really seen her involved in conflict much with the cast, which I think is sort of the missing piece there, because I'm like, I don't know if she really fits in as like a real housewife. But I think she's like, seems super cool. Her partner is A, on the show, and B, very interesting. And I like her whole vibe, but it's hard because the show itself is just not working really in any real way. So it's like, at a certain point, it's like, okay, if there's like one piece I like about this, you know, disgusting recipe, you kind of, you're still not saving it.
I feel like the issue, having not seen several weeks, so I can truly go fuck myself. The issue with New York is not that they're not engaged with conflict. It's that like the show just doesn't work. I don't think that's because of a lack of conflict. I think it's because like I don't maybe like these people when they're gathered around and I don't believe it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think with Raquel, it's more like she hasn't necessarily sunk her teeth into anything really this season. But the conflicts that are happening are not that compelling. It's like, I don't actually really care about Uba and Aaron like being mad at each other for...
Oh, are they mad at each other?
Yeah, they're fighting. Okay. And then this week, they're in Puerto Rico and they like agreed to move on. And then basically immediately Uba started like talking shit about Aaron again. And Aaron's like, what the fuck? Which kind of valid. But like, yeah, nobody cares about any of this. And I think that's the bigger issue than pranks or people not showing their partners or, you know, something falling flat. It's like, I just don't think anybody cares. And like, you can't have when people are so apathetic about a show, it's like, what are we doing this for?
Well, if the argument against them or criticism of them by several people is that they're self-producing, I don't know how you unteach someone to self-produce. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that they're two seasons in. This season has been kind of a flop. So Andy, he would do what anyone would do in his position, which is like, we're totally behind them, whatever else. I'm just wondering behind the scenes, like,
yeah,
because I know they've made a huge investment, but if it's really structurally damaged and a lot of people are saying there's something wrong with the foundation of this that's just not working, I don't know how you adjust that. Because I also think introducing OGs is a bad idea. I think that's like a sort of daydream that some people have, understandably. But I also think if you put in people who are of an entirely different form of life, reality, bubble, and production, and introduce them to people who are sort of wooden and not able to be natural at this because it's just not their language. Mm-hmm. It's either not their love language, like the kind of housewives that we like to watch in New York, or it's I mean, it's not just the cast, it's also production, obviously. This is cool things that shit show. I don't think introducing people who are like feral animals is really going to help the situation at all. I think it might make it a lot worse.
The idea that I had earlier this week, which I'm sure somebody else has said before me, but it, whatever. What if this was the time after the season to introduce some summer house characters as
Lindsay Hubbard
housewives?
I think Lindsay Hubbard is advocating for herself to be added to New York.
I do feel like Lindsay Hubbard now is a mommy, and that is going to be, you know, tricky to sort of work into summer house the way it currently exists. So what if Lindsay Hubbard came to make, you know, Aaron Leachy's life a living hell? Like, I would watch that.
Okay, but then let it be. Make Bren's life hell too.
Well,
make everybody's life hell.
I think that they would benefit from. I agree that I don't think there's any realistic way that it would work to bring like Dorinda and Luann onto the show with the current Roni cast.
No,
but like maybe the summer house thing would be a version of like putting them in with some more like seasoned reality stars who are going to kind of like, I don't know, hold their feet to the fire, whip them into shape. But I have no idea if it would work. I have no idea if it's something they even are thinking about or want to consider. But like, I don't know. It's food for thought.
I feel like Paige would burn down Central Park if Lindsay Hubbard got added to Roni and she didn't. And then Summer House is ruined. Lindsay Hubbard is like a once in a generation.
Yeah.
And I mean this again with love, psychopath. So it's like, I love Lindsay. She's like wonderful television. But like, how do you even, I guess this is a problem that we're going to have regardless, because I don't want to lose her on Summer House. I would be happy to bring her to New York, but I also don't want her to bring her to a citywide emergency. Like New York right now is a 311 call. Like this is a huge issue. So I don't know.
Yeah, it is tough. It's like, okay, so If you're sending Lindsay into the burning building, is she going to be able to put out the fire, or is she going to get burnt? Like
Lindsay is the fire.
No.
We Roni, need oxygen.
Roni is the burning building. Lindsay is the firefighter, but is she going to be able to do it? I don't know if it's a one-woman job. I don't know if it's a job that you can, I don't know if it's fair to expect that. It's not going to be like casting Phaedra on Married to Medicine, because that show wasn't that broken. It was just a fun extra flavor.
I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? In the words of an unnamed former OG New York housewife, we support other women. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormone changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. In the time before that time of the month, I don't feel like myself. I recognize a change in emotion after the fact, but during it, it's so difficult to understand what is different about the experience of being me that changes in a matter of days. The good news is we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did Married to Medicine premiere?
Yeah.
I'm not caught up. So behind.
I think they've had 3 episodes as we're talking right now.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. It premiered like the weekend, like right around Thanksgiving.
Okay. So while my dad was quite literally dying next to me.
Yeah.
This is the issue, is that like I just want to watch and I think I need it. And I'm having a literal absolute crisis in my life of like, I don't even know who I am anymore, identity, whatever, which we're not going to get into. I need and require good television right now. Yeah. And I will watch and catch up on New York when I'm in the mood to yell, which also happens. Well, so I'll use that to help myself process anger and rage by watching New York. But like, I don't want to do this season again.
I don't want to do this anymore. I think that
I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
I don't know if this was strategic or sort of a happy accident on the Bravo scheduling side of things, but Beverly Hills premiering and airing on the same night as New York when it did, I feel like gave so many of us an excuse to sort of check out of New York. And I've still been watching. I've still been talking about it here and there, but like, Roni isn't the Tuesday night show anymore because Beverly Hills is on right before it and is like way better and way more interesting. So like, I don't think that was like on purpose. I think if anything, they were probably trying to help out Roni by giving it, you know, like the big show as the lead in. But like for me as a podcast scheduler, if I'm recording on Wednesdays now, I'm like, okay, so I'm obviously recapping Beverly Hills and then New York, maybe I'll get to it if I have time. Whereas before I felt like that was what I needed to talk about. So, and that has also been paired with like the, you know, decline in quality on New York. So
it is sort of a weird time because this is a thing that we were desperate to have at other points of like an abundance of content. And I do think that, I don't even know if it's content creator exhaustion. I do think it's like, and it's sort of not fair, but like, you know, you want to talk about what you want to talk about. And I have to say that this week's episode of Salt Lake City was exactly what I needed to like laugh for an hour. It was so funny and so good. So it's like, why would a person, aside from it being your literal job, why would a person want to watch New York after that?
Well, it's funny, even compared to Beverly Hills, like this week we had sort of the like long awaited knockdown drag out between Dorit and Kyle at that dinner in Oceanside. And like Salt Lake City is the conversation topic of the week. Like we had this like major moment on Beverly Hills and it's like, okay, but did you see Angie throw the shampoo across the table at Britney? Like that is Salt Lake City right now is like on this kind of bizarre hot streak where it's like every episode feels like a standout episode, but not necessarily in the sense that it's like, oh my God, there's this massive scandal and it's like, you know, it's not like every episode the feds are showing up to Beauty Lab and Laser. Like the stakes honestly aren't that high with a lot of these conflicts. It's just truly like the way that the group is going about things this season is just like so captivating to watch and so entertaining. And like, they're fighting about dumb stuff, which I love on Housewives.
That is the best kind of Housewives fight. I don't need the federal government to show up in front of. I want to see people yelling at each other and then Angie K immediately trying to lie and be like, no, I passed you the bag. I didn't like throw it. Oh, I didn't know it was upside down. Like
that's upside down.
Kind of stuff like that. And Bronwyn and Lisa Barlow walk, go from like the stroll over drinks to where
the table's ready,
where the person is checking in while arguing, and then walk over to the table. And then the server at that, like when the server eventually came and was like, you could see the stress in his being. And yeah. I loved him and appreciate him. He is an icon and a legend and a thrill. But him trying to like introduce cheer while six different people, it's, I don't want to compare it to Cartagena because it really shouldn't be compared. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, it was giving me a high similar to how I felt watching Cartagena, except maybe Cartagena was a little more stressful because Dorinda was involved versus this, where I'm just like, this is really funny.
Yeah, I think the Cartagena one, it was maybe a little bit like sloppier.
Yes.
Whereas I think the Salt Lake City women, it's like there's a lot to look at, but it feels like everybody is like sort of clear on their intention. Mm-hmm. I loved in that sort of extended sequence at that dinner how when they were sitting on those couches, I guess waiting for their table to be ready, within that space, they reached a full crescendo of an argument. So the host had to like be like, hi, sorry to interrupt, your table's ready. And then when they sat down at the table, again reached the full crescendo to where the waiter was trying to break in. I'm like, how long have they even been sitting down? Like, how much time did they spend at this restaurant? But yeah, it's really wonderful. And then I think to then also pair that with the scene that we saw with Mary and Angie at the beginning of the episode, that it's like, that was so, you know, tough to watch. And so I, you know, for Mary, the last couple episodes, she's been holding this in and hasn't, you know, shared it with anyone in the cast. And it's been, you know, there have been some like allusions to stuff that she's going through, but she, you know, choosing to share it with Angie in the way that she did. But then the fact that they're able to hold space for that in the episode and then shift over to this Mexico trip, that we have like 30 more minutes of like bananas, mm-hmm. you know, shenanigans. Like, I think it's really the editors, the producers, whoever is kind of orchestrating the balance, I think is doing a really great job, because it could have easily felt like, oh, that's kind of fucked up that they're putting this like scene in here and then we're supposed to laugh about shampoo. But it's really, it's worked for me, and I think they're doing a good job with it.
The editing has felt really respectful when it comes to stuff involving mm-hmm. Mary and Robert Jr. Just the handling of it, the care of it, how Andy's discussed it on Watch What Happens Live, I think has been really respectful and important, how other guests have mentioned it. Mm-hmm. But then the like shifting to the end of this week's episode where it's like Bronwyn's giving the like record scratch, like, like, I know what happened. And then just like photos of cast members of like, this is how the high body count hair, was that what it was? High body count hair, high body count hair thing happened. It was just like, there are these moments, which I didn't even talk about because I watched the Salt Lake City episodes, but mm-hmm. then where I was in Rhode Island, for whatever reason, I was like, I can record about Beverly Hills right now spiritually, but I can't do it about Salt Lake City. So I haven't had the opportunity within my own mind, body, and spirit to talk about all things Mary and Robert Jr. But like what Mary referenced in this episode, one of the things that Robert said that was like really devastating to hear, in the way that Mary said it again this week, and it was beautifully worded, just like in its eloquence, but also devastation, when he said, I felt like a stain. Mm. I don't know that there's a way to be as viscerally gutted as I was hearing about it. It was just, he has a way of communicating how he's feeling that's so impactful. And I just don't know that I've heard something as upsetting and like ground changing, honestly, on Housewives, as I've heard a child say to his mom, like, I felt like a stain. It's just, it's, I would think, the most devastating thing that you could feel as a parent. It's not even just him saying, I felt worthless. He felt like something that needed to be changed, that needed to be removed. Like a net negative in that way. It's just unbelievably, obviously, unbelievably upsetting and devastating, but also incredibly profound.
Yeah. And I think we haven't always gotten a ton of like detail of like the arc of Mary Cosby's life. Obviously.
And the arc of Robert Jr.'s, obviously.
Right. And I think that for the first couple seasons of the show, the whole like married her grandfather thing sort of, yes, of course.
Steps important.
Sort of like overshadowed learning other stuff about her and the church, you know, whatever. But I think that hearing her sort of mention this week about how she wanted to be pregnant for 5 years before she had Robert Jr. and that, you know, she prayed so hard, she asked God to give her this child. And so then, I mean, obviously, you know, any parent would, you know, have a hard time hearing the things that he's sharing with her, but like that clearly for her, it like hits this deep, deep place of like, for him to feel that way and to not maybe know or be able to bear in mind that like he is the perfect thing that I needed and hoped for and prayed for in my life, like for her to feel like, where did I go wrong for him to not know that or to not, you know, feel that. And I you know, it was nice to see Angie kind of like, I think Angie was very sort of like restrained in how she kind of like was in that conversation, that it didn't feel like she was having this huge over the top reaction or making it about herself at all. Like, I think it felt like she kind of just said just enough and was, you know, reassuring Mary. And I think it was the initial conversation between Mary and Robert Jr. was obviously like extremely impactful and emotional, but like I was really kind of pleasantly surprised with how that interaction with Angie went this week. Like I thought, Angie can be a little bit of a drama queen, and I appreciated that in that moment she sort of, I think, read the room and didn't go in that direction.
But the thing with Angie is that she can be comical, she can be kind of like clown-esque at points, but then we had the scene with her and her father,
yeah,
where she was incredibly revealing and very vulnerable. There'd be, aside from Mary and Meredith's relations right now is like tough, like they made up at the bat mitzvah, but I think that's probably gonna be pretty temporary. But like, from Angie's position, being the child of a parent who wasn't present and was also struggling with alcoholism,
yes,
and Angie's processing of her childhood trauma now as an adult, and being there as Mary's friend and also having had her own experiences as a child and as an adult, I think both of them have so many commonalities that I was in no way surprised that Angie responded, I think, in the best possible way.
Yeah.
'Cause I just think we've seen that from her before. Like, I was just so thankful that Mary had her in that moment, because also Mary's confessional, where she's breaking down and saying, I don't have anyone to help me support myself, support my son who's in trouble. He's showing, you know, talking about suicidal ideation and talking about addiction in the ways he is. Like, this is a 911 level crisis for their family. And for her to grapple with the fact that, like, she doesn't have people she can call, she doesn't have a mom she could call, she didn't have a mom maybe ever she could call, mm-hmm, based off what we've heard about her childhood. Her grandmother's passed away. Like, there's just a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pain in, I would think for her, just recognizing where she is in her life and the lack of support that she has previous to even finding this out. It's just a lot. It's a lot for obviously for Robert Jr. to have to deal with. It's a lot for her to have to deal with. I'm thankful that even in the scene that they had together, that she was able to really sit with him and be present, mm-hmm, because I think a lot of people's responses would be to try to shut this off. And from a place of like love and care of like, no, don't think that way, and that would be the end of the conversation. She's really, the way that she was still open and still connecting with him and also trying to process this, I thought it was really, really profound.
Yeah. It's so interesting because I feel like when Mary came back to the show as a friend of last season, mm-hmm, and then she's full-time this season, and I was like a little skeptical about kind of like, okay, what are we going to get from Mary that we haven't seen before, or like, is she gonna really like contribute in a major way? She's always, you know, she doesn't come on all the trips. She kind of shows up when she wants to. And I think, obviously, I'm not like happy that this situation is happening in her life and with her family. But like the fact that she's shown this to us on the show and that it's been handled with such care clearly by everyone involved with it, like it's added something, I think, really, you know, really important to this season. And I think we love the moments of comedy and drama and silliness and everything that are happening with a lot of this cast. But like, and even with Mary, I mean, she has great moments of in the preview for next week's episode, when she's like, what happened to dessert?
Iconic.
But like, but I think that like great Housewives seasons contain a lot of different things, and the balance is really important. And I'm glad that this sort of like, you know, piece is where it is this season.
Yeah, I just I don't know. I think it's, you know, it's Mary. There's so much about Mary that's complicated. There's mm-hmm. so much about Mary that has been problematic. Even with this season, there was like a Page Six thing that I think came out again. There was like an update to it, but of allegations of Mary allegedly using a slur in trying to insult Lisa Barlow's son by using a slur, mm-hmm. the R word. And that seems to have been scrubbed from the season entirely. Allegedly, it happened at their whatever the fuck it was, the last episode, when, and there's like sort of edits where you can see Lisa looking really, really defeated and upset at points, and it's never explained. I don't know, first off, if that actually happened, yeah. but my guess is in the way that it's been reported by Page Six, like sources, I mean, closer production, I'm only assuming who those people might have been. I'm kind of confused about that a little bit, because I don't think we'll get any clarity, because it right. hasn't been mentioned or addressed in any way. But that is a terrible thing to say, and a terrible thing to say. It's so ignorant, and it's also a terrible thing to say as a way to try to insult a cast member's minor child.
Right.
So we don't know if it happened, but and it's not taking away from anything that we have seen about Mary otherwise, but to also just say, like, she is a complicated person. And I would just feel for Lisa in that aspect,
also complicated,
but I would also feel for Lisa in that aspect to like have it be scrubbed from the season. Are you ever given the opportunity to be like, this was really upsetting yeah. to me? Or is that, if she even references that at the reunion, is it going to be scrubbed out?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I would be curious to see if that will make any kind of appearance at the reunion. But like you said, like even if it does in the room that day, they wouldn't necessarily air it. So I don't know. I mean, I think with the way these shows are constructed and edited, there are always going to be certain things that sort of don't quite get explained. Like, you know, that's just the nature of when you film for X amount of weeks and months, and then you're putting something into, you know, 16 episodes. But it is frustrating when it feels like there's maybe like a little bit of a heavy hand on the scales, of like this, we don't really want to go there or whatever. And it's like, I don't know. I was, it was interesting. This, we haven't seen it yet, so I don't know exactly how it's going to be. But like last month at FanFest, Andy confirmed that Kenya's whatever is going to be like on Atlanta next season.
Like, talk about slut shaming.
Yeah.
Holy
so,
shit.
So I think that that's something where I'm like, okay, that's an instance where from a production standpoint or like a network standpoint, I could have seen them deciding that it's like, that's a little messy. We would rather just not. But it's like, the fan, like from a fan perspective, it's like I'd kind of like this to be shown.
Well, also, do you start the season with no reference to Kenya at right. all since she was fired? Do you just remove her any group dynamic, or do we start the season and it's going to be bleak, but like with Kenya as a part of the cast, bleak because we know that this mm-hmm. isn't going to last terribly long, because I think they were in early days of shooting when that happened. I don't think that yeah. they were terribly long into filming the season. So I don't know. I don't know what, I haven't heard anything about Atlanta. I'm very concerned.
I'm not concerned necessarily. Okay. I don't know. Like, I haven't heard too much either, but I'm optimistic. I don't know. I think there's enough shows on right now that I'm not too, I'm trying to just kind of like, I'm like, that'll happen when it happens. And I hope it's good.
I just want it to be good. I really want it to be good. Atlanta deserves it. We deserve it. This is a prestige show, prestige franchise for the network. I really want it to be good. And especially because the cast specifically haven't necessarily been respected by the network when it comes to promotion. The fact that these women have had to pay for their own promotion previously because the network wasn't interested in giving them a budget. I just hope it's a good season. I don't know how it could be, to be honest, if we're going to like be really realistic. Like, I just don't know because
look,
Kenya and Portia should be together. I know Phaedra's going to come in for like the last 2 weeks and they're going to make 16 episodes out of it. But I don't even know what Portia's going to be able to talk about when it comes to Simon. Like, I don't know.
Drew Sidora is going to get in there and she's going to make work her magic.
Yeah, as she always has and always will.
She's going to write a song. We'll be fine.
I can't believe that in the year of our Lord and Savior 2024, the year of our Lord and Savior Sunstrack, that Drew Sidora still has a job. I can't believe it.
Well, you know, I think she's a survivor. I think that she...
I think we're survivors of her time.
Look, I think Drew... I have a soft spot for Drew. I think that she's a little bit of like a DeLulu icon. I like a delusional housewife. I think that she believes that she is a real star, and her stuff with Ralph, I don't know. It was interesting.
I love a delusional housewife, but I also love a good housewife, and I don't think she's good. I don't think she's good at this. I'm tired of her.
Okay.
Watch me be like, oh, Drew's phenomenal. When next, if Drew is the best part of Atlanta next season and it's Portia's first time back, I don't even know what I'll do.
I am interested. We're going to have like single Drew, I guess, for the first time.
Who cares?
I know. I don't know.
Oh my God, she's single. What an incredible moment for us.
Will she mingle? Tune in to see.
Can't wait to see Drew. Like, I care about her personality at all.
I know you're not.
I'm going into a mean era.
I know you're not caught up on Potomac, but this past week there was a Giselle and Ashley speed dating scene where there were like men there to meet Giselle and Ashley. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
Okay, hot take. And I literally am 17,000 episodes behind on Potomac. I'm ready to love Giselle again.
Okay.
I'm ready for it. I don't know if she's having a particularly good season, but the way it started was good.
I think Giselle is having like an inoffensive season.
Love it.
I would say it
for her. Needed it.
Well, and I think like so much of like her big like feud with Wendy last season just sucked up so much oxygen and they're totally fine now.
Love.
Because somebody got a talking to.
Because someone's like, you're gonna lose your job.
Somebody's like, you have to go to her fucking birthday party. We don't care. Give her a hug.
No, truly, like, let it go.
Yeah. No, I mean, Potomac this season, it's a little touch and go, but we'll talk about it later.
I'm nervous in catching up, which I literally must do. Now I'm back in New York.
It's not all bad. It's just like, I think I wanted it to lock in a little more than it has this season, knowing that they, you know, made some tweaks and are trying to kind of like turn it around. But it's tricky. I mean, Karen's in a weird place with all her legal stuff. So
I'm giving you eyes.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Not to be a total downer here, but
Was there an announcement?
No, I mean, not something
like, did Scandoval happen again?
No, I mean, not something specifically concerning the Grand Dame, but just in thinking about some legal stuff that has happened, Okay, wait, something else came out literally while we were recording. Fuck me. Okay, let's look at this. Okay, so DJ James Kennedy was arrested. We found out about the arrest, I guess, yesterday-ish. We're recording this Friday. Was arrested for suspicion of domestic violence. So it's just an update from TMZ. Okay, so we all seemingly found out at once through TMZ that James was arrested for misdemeanor domestic violence, for suspicion of misdemeanor domestic violence. He then put out a statement, which I will read, that attorneys for him put out, that says, "We are in the process of conducting our own investigation into the allegations levied by the Burbank Police Department against James. We understand there were no injuries, and we are hoping that after careful review, the city's attorneys will decide not to file charges." To be honest, that's maybe one of the worst statements I've seen.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that was the no injuries thing is to talk about domestic violence and think that because there were no physical injuries or physical injuries that you can see, that that somehow makes it okay.
Yeah, it's also just like the initial report about the arrest had so few details that it feels like they're trying to like, but actually a situation that we didn't even hear about in the first place, that they're like, there were no injuries. And it's like, wait, what?
Yeah, that doesn't take away from someone calling 911 because of...
Right, that doesn't make me feel like, oh, great. No, it's not like, oh, there was a car accident and nobody got hurt, thank God. It's like, well, wait, then what?
But there was still a car accident.
Yeah, like,
and somebody was behind the wheel there, you know, like, and so now TMZ just put out a statement saying James and a piece saying James, wonder who this is from. James and Allie are putting up a united front. We've learned the Bravo couple has no plans to split following the Vanderpump Rules star's domestic violence arrest. Sources familiar with the situation tell TMZ the DJ and his astrologer girlfriend are sticking together in the wake of the controversy, with Allie choosing to stand by James in this situation. We're told Allie and James did have an argument Tuesday evening after they returned home from Kathy Hilton's holiday party. Sources say a neighbor caught wind of the spat, quote unquote, overreacted and called 911. I say, I also do want to just reference friend of the pod, Teddy Joe Carrot, I guess, had at some point with Tamara, because somebody reposted not a clip of it, but they had at one point talked about, I guess, allegedly on their pod about being in a car with James and Allie one night and some sort of argument being so explosive that they asked the car to stop, like for them to get out of the car because it was so uncomfortable. I don't know what's going on here. I do think that James's lawyer's response was as close to vile as it can possibly be. I understand that they are trying to defend this person publicly and also legally. Mm-hmm. But I also think if this is a claim of domestic violence, the handling of it, some of this language is very, very triggering to people. Just the no injuries of it all. I quite literally understand what they are literally saying.
Right.
But it's the problem is what they are literally saying and what it's implying about injuries if a person is involved in a episode or dynamic of
right. The wording of that almost seems more like something you would like submit to the court or something.
Right.
To try and get them to make a decision. That's not the public statement that you make in response to like. I don't know. It's yeah, it's definitely upsetting. And I'm curious to see sort of like how it unfolds. It also just I feel like in the wake of the Vanderpump Rules news from a few weeks ago that the whole cast is being, you know, fired.
They all got fired.
Yeah.
They all got fired.
I know. I'm like rebooted, whatever. Yeah, like it's interesting to look at in that light that it's like, okay, so how does this affect Vanderpump Rules? Well, I guess it doesn't because they're not on the show anymore. I don't know. Like this does seem like probably the worst time that this could be happening, like in terms of if James is looking at like what's going on with my career. It's like, well, you're not on this show, and now people are always going to have this, you know, in their minds.
Right. He doesn't have a platform that he can use. He has his attorneys putting out a shitty statement. And also, this sources are saying that Ali is standing by him, that I'm just sending all of my love to Ali, and also just want to, I think some of us understand this, but like, make clear that Ali, in whatever dynamic they are in right now, and we don't know, Ali deserves our love and support in this. Ali standing by James does not mean his behavior was acceptable, healthy, safe, or normal. So that doesn't, to me, clear him of anything. And I just, it's just a, it was just honestly shocking, but also Kristen told us, Rachel Raquel told us. So I don't know what's going on. And then some other people have said that his behavior at Kathy Hilton's Christmas party, and this allegedly happened following that, the same night, was not good. So I don't know what's going on with him, spiraling, whatever else, but it does sound like their relationship might be sort of a little bit closer to some of his other relationships than maybe people hoped that it was.
Yeah, it's tough when you've watched somebody over the course of so many years in multiple long-term relationships. It's like, you always want to think that like the current one is like the best one, that it's like, okay, we're evolving, we're growing, we're maturing, and Ali seems like a really, you know, sweet person, and they found each other and whatever. But it's like, ah, shit. Like, it's tough.
And I think a lot of us were really happy that James had decided not to drink and to seek help for alcohol addiction. And this is just a terrible situation, but also maybe an indicator, or not, but possibly an indicator that there's some, deciding not to continue to drink is not the end of the story. It's just like the beginning of a new chapter. And I just don't know what support he has received for what we have seen over the years is like a significant anger issue, where the anger is coming from, where the rage is coming from, and the fact that it does seem to have a thread through his romantic relationships, a lot of which hasn't been shown, a lot of which hasn't been addressed on the show. He's really been protected by the network, and he doesn't have that protection anymore. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's just, it's a terrible situation, but it because it literally just happened, and I guess there was news that was happening while we were recording, I did just want to mention it so that we had an opportunity.
Yeah, it's funny because, I mean, it's not funny, but like, because Vanderpump Rules is now kind of like closed for business, at least with that cast, like, it, we have all these Housewives shows that are currently airing, and it's like, okay, like, how much are we continuing to care about James Kennedy? Maybe not so much, depending on, you know, how this plays out.
Yeah, and I just hope that we don't know. I just hope that that Ali specifically is okay.
Me too.
Listen, there is a lot for us to discuss. I feel like we truly, I'm just very focused on Salt Lake City, but it's a lot for us to mention. So I'm going to shift over to a part deux with Sweet Baby Dill, because I want the combo to continue. So change on over to part two of this 15-parter, available now.
Every day when you log into ChumbaCasino.com, the ultimate online social casino, you get a free daily bonus. Imagine if you got daily bonuses in other parts of your life.
I chose French fries over loaded French fries.
I asked Stuart from accounting about his weekend, even though I don't care.
I updated my operating system without having to call tech support.
Collect your free daily bonus at ChumbaCasino.com now. And live the Chumba life.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.